May I speak in the name of the God with us, Emmanuel, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. While it may not be any winter wonderland or sleigh bells ringing on our 70-degree Huntsville morning, make no mistake, it is Christmas, and I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas on this most sacred feast of the Nativity of our Lord. Some of us may be here because it is a tradition to attend Christmas morning Eucharist. Others may be here because our parents or grandparents dragged us along here, or better yet, we dragged our parents or grandparents along here. For others, it is a time to be around their St. Stephen's family and be reminded of God's great love. And still, I would not blame you nor be surprised if there are still some in our pews today who are checking their watches as I preach now, ready to zoom off to a Christmas get-together or plans that were months in the making. And you know, this preacher would not blame you one bit. Why? Because the truth of Christmas is not that God is born in the lofty places, like gold-lined icons in a church cathedral, gilded congressional halls, or even godly poetics of a preacher's sermon. The truth of Christmas, my friends, is that God is born in those most ordinary moments of our everyday lives. We encounter God's presence with our loved ones, and especially with those who are left behind or left out. The first revelation of Christ's birth comes not to the temple priests or religious scholars or Roman authorities in the Jerusalem temple or capital. Instead, it comes to the poor, rough around the edges shepherds. They are not the shepherds of most of our nativity sets, well-groomed and put together young men who stumbled into the manger with their heads bowed low. Shepherds of the time were people of no account. They lived out in the dry, dusty Judean fields. They were surrounded by sheep and dung, and they were often on guard from thieves and wild animals. Without a shower or shelter, they were dirty. God knows what they smelled like. When I used to live in California, I would often drive into the Central Valley, where a quarter of the food is grown in the United States. And I would see migrant day laborers crouched over picking crops in the hot, dry valley sun. Day after day, they would work grueling shifts to make an honest living. We need not look far in East Texas to see those same migrants working in the fields, providing us with our daily bread. It is to people such as these that an angel, a messenger of God, appears and proclaims good news of great joy. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And where do these marginalized sheep herders go? The angel tells them to see the long-awaited Messiah, the Kyrios, the Lord, not in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem temple or palace courtyards, but they are told to go to an animal trough in their small village outside. They are told when they go there, they will see God. The shepherds likely arrive to this scene with grunting animals in the background, a lingering sulfur smell, and a baby's small body cushioned only by hay or fur. They likely were not fazed in the slightest. For the shepherds, this was all part of the symphony they called everyday life. For the important people, the movers and shakers just a few miles down the road, this was unimaginable. Yet this is exactly where God meets us. The God with us is with us in the everyday chaos of our lives. The grunting of the car horns down I-45, the sulfur smell of the petroleum industry down by the Gulf, the small bodies of the infirm and infants in Huntsville Hospital. The wisdom of the incarnation, that is, God becoming flesh or human, is that no religion, tribe, nation, or people has any more of God than another. God is not mine or yours than it is the man without insurance begging for medical care at the hospital, or the woman who cut you off as she races down the highway. In the Christian tradition, we often focus on Jesus' crucifixion as God's saving act for humanity. We point to the cross and say, Jesus died for your sins, now believe and be saved. Now there is a truth to that. But I wonder, when we focus so much on the cross, do we risk minimizing the saving work present in Jesus' birth? Do we miss the fact that on Christmas, in the incarnation, we celebrate that God says a resounding yes to the human condition? In the infant Jesus, God says yes to our human bodies with all their desires and neediness for connection, for belonging, for love. In the child Jesus, God says yes to learn, to grow, to mature, to not have it all together. In the adult Jesus, God says yes to the human desire not to be alone, to want the company of disciples, of friends, to be with you at table, to eat, to drink, to share life. Make no mistake, God is effecting our salvation through the incarnation. By becoming one of us, God is saying, yes, you are good, so delightfully good. I long to be as close to you as possible. Because of my love for you, I will become one of you. In the humanity of Jesus, the creator of the cosmos embraces all of our humanness. In the saving life of Jesus, we see what it looks like to be fully alive in God. As Saint Irenaeus of Lyon said in the second century, the glory of God is the human being fully alive. In other words, God became alive in humanity so that we might become alive in God. Jesus is God's yes. Jesus is God's embrace of us so that we might in turn say yes and embrace God in all of our thoughts, words, and deeds. Is this not the Christian journey? Is this not the message of Christmas? Our yes is always based on God's yes first. We can say yes to God because we know that God first said yes to us. The incarnation teaches us that God's yes is greater than all of our no's. And we can touch that yes at the very center of ourselves and at the very center of one another. As John O'Donohue, the late Celtic priest and poet, said, though we know one another's names and recognize one another's faces, we never know what destiny shapes each life. Each life is a mystery that is never finally available to the mind's light or questions. Right here, is a huge affirmation. Somehow God needed us and wanted us to be here. To sense and trust this primeval acceptance can open up a vast spring of trust within the heart. The name Jesus means the one who saves. I imagine the shepherds, as they left that manger all those years ago, went out sensing, trusting that they have indeed been saved. They have been saved because God wanted, even needed, them to be here. God did so not from the top down, but from the inside out. And if God saved them from the inside out, then God saved us all from the inside out. Our invitation then is not simply to believe that God has united the world to God's self in Christ. It is to live as if this is our reality. As if the ordinary things and people of our life are truly and deeply sacred. It is not simply listening to the choir of angels and heavenly hosts and getting the warm and fuzzy Christmas joy. It is to follow in the footsteps of the shepherds who left their work in order to do God's work by glorifying and praising God in the faces of all they met. What if we too encounter each person with the same curiosity and delight of the shepherds to the baby Jesus? What if that same Christ came alive so that we too might see him alive in every human heart? What if we saw the Democrat, the Republican, the English speaker, the Spanish speaker, the Muslim, the Jew, the migrant day laborer, and the white-collar worker, all as the mystery of God incarnate, waiting to be revealed? We can move through our entire lives on autopilot, asleep in our circular thoughts. I know I do. And we can miss the angels showing us Christ's face, face to face. As Christians, we need to actively choose to see Christ enfleshed in people. And we know in 2025 America, it takes a spiritual discipline to move past the autopilot of my tribe, my work, myself, and toward the Christ who dispels all biases and judgments and surprises us in a manger. It is a spiritual discipline that takes a choice. A choice to listen, to receive, to be aware of the God who says yes to every person, even and especially those who are different from us. A choice to listen without thinking of our response ahead of time. A choice to ask questions with genuine curiosity. A choice to discover what motivates another to come fully alive within themselves and therefore shine God's glory. In times like these, God knows we need help. We need grace. And thank God that our God is the gracious one who is with us, saying yes. May we all practice this awareness in this Christmas season. And when we look into the face of another, may we say yes to a mystery, a gift waiting to be revealed. A mystery drawing us close to the childlike joy of Christ, who joins us all together in God's love.